Blog Talk Radio.
From Richmond, Virginia, welcome to What Does the Word Sing, a production of DNC Ministries. We teach you how to be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net to take advantage of the resources we have available. Books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more are there just for you. Links to this and previous shows are one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Ever wonder what it takes to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? Well, that and much, much more are available on our site, and if we can be of service to you, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net or give us a call at 804-909-7339. Today we will continue our series on the book of John, and I am so excited about what the Lord is going to reveal to us today. If you'd like to be part of the conversation this morning, call us at 347-857-1322 or log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2 and you can listen or chat with us online. As always, it is my blessed privilege and honor to introduce our co-host, Pastor Godfrey Kasiri. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
I am blessed, anointed, and appointed. How about you?
I tell you, brother, excited in the kingdom as ever.
Amen.
What the Lord is doing.
How was your service on Sunday?
Brother, the service was a blast. We had a wonderful time in the Lord's presence.
Amen. Well, I'm sorry I couldn't be there. We had couple of things going on that day, and so it was a great time. But folks, let me just tell you, if you want to go to a service, a church service, where the Holy Ghost runs rampant in the place, and where you get nothing unadulterated Word of God, you get the truth from the beginning of the service to the end of the service, then do a commercial for us for where you're located at and what time your church service is.
Brother, our church services begin at 3, and by 5 we are done. We are located on 3076 Hall Street. That is, we are sharing a building with Seed Time and Harvest Time Ministries. Again, the address is 3076 on Hall Street. We are there Sunday evening from 3 up to 5 for our services, and we are believing God for the midweek services also as the Lord continues to bless us.
Amen. Amen. Well, that is absolutely awesome, and we so appreciate, you know, what it is that you're doing in the kingdom, and we know that the people that attend are going to definitely be blessed. So we need to talk about technology issues at some point about how we can do recordings there, and there's even a way that we can broadcast your services live on the internet, and I'll talk to you all about that later. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, this morning I want to pray, and then we're going to get started. We're still, believe it or not, I think this is the third week, we're still in John chapter 6. We just can't seem to get out of here, and that's okay. We're not in any hurry to do this. If it takes, you know, 10 years to do this, then that's fine, but we want to see if we can't get everything we can out of it. So this morning, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to gather in your presence. We thank you, Father, for your word of God, which is truth. We thank you, Lord, that when we bathe ourselves in your word, we're covering ourselves in your truth. And we want that that seed to soak down into our ground, Lord, so that we can produce fruit that will be forever, that will last forever. But we want much fruit, Father, and we just thank you today that as we study to show ourselves approved, workmen unashamed of rightly dividing the word of truth, you'll get all the honor, the glory, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that we're still, we just finished up verse 40, I think. Is that what you have?
We end up to 39.
Yes. 39, okay, we did 39. All right, let's read 39. It says, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day." And verse 40 says, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Hallelujah. Now, we remember that that parallels Jesus' three prayers in the garden.
Right.
When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray before he was crucified, he prayed three prayers, and the first one he prayed was for himself. And he asked the Lord, he said, "Look, if there's anything that we can do a little bit different than this." I find myself asking him that all the time. "Lord, is there a different way we can go about doing this?"
I think there is no different way.
And the answer is always no. It's my way or the highway, so I think I'll just say, you know. And then the second prayer was he prayed for his disciples, and this is where the parallel between that and this occurs when he says this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me I should lose nothing. And that's exactly what he said. He told the Lord, he said, "Look, you gave me these people. These are the ones, the disciples are the 12 that you gave me. And I have lost none of them except the one, which is the son of perdition." And the reason that was lost was the scripture had to be fulfilled. And so what Jesus is saying here is he's saying, "Look, I'm not going to lose anything the Father gave me. If you've been given to God by the Father, you are not going to be lost." Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The final prayer that he prayed, of course, was he prayed for you and me and all the other saints that would come in the future. So praise God. All right, let's talk about verse 41. We'll start there. He says, "The Jews then complained about him because he said, 'I am the bread which come down from heaven.' And they said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, 'I have come down from heaven?' Jesus therefore answered and said to them, 'Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them.'" That's what we just talked about right then, just a second ago. "And I will raise him up at the last day, because it is written in the prophets, they shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. And not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he would believe in me has everlasting life, and I am the bread of life. Your fathers are the manna in the wilderness and are dead, and this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one man eat of it and not that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I shall give you is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Now, they really had no clue of what was going on there. He was talking spiritual, and they were talking natural.
Natural,
and, of course, therein lies the problem. The two, you know, the two can't coincide with each other. If you're going to live in the Spirit, then you have to live in the Spirit, and you'll just simply reside in the flesh. Hallelujah.
How true that is.
Go ahead and give us some thoughts on that, Pastor.
Now, I'm looking at just like you're saying, their focus was more on the natural. And let's not forget that previously he had fed them bread, and they came following him looking for the bread. And I think now is now taking them to a deeper explanation of what he meant, that though you saw that miracle in the previous chapter and verse, now, I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Still, they could not comprehend it because their eyes were more on the natural thing.
Well, they understood anatomy and physiology. They understood the reproduction system, and they understood how people were born. What they didn't understand was the divine seed deposited in the womb of Mary by Gabriel.
Right. Exactly.
You know, or not by Gabriel, but by the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost came and implanted that seed in her.
Exactly.
They didn't understand that concept. And and to think that their idea was that you're born, you live, and you die.
You die.
They had no clue that Jesus had been and will be.
Yeah.
And so
he will be.
Yeah, they were struggling with that. Now they already had heard and been taught about, you know, the manna that came down from heaven when Moses was out in the desert, and they were in the wilderness, and they understood that's where it came was from God, but they were having a hard time correlating or relating the fact that Jesus was the Son of God. They couldn't accept that because they really believed that the Messiah had not yet come.
Right.
Amen.
And like you say, in verse 42, they were still looking at him as, isn't this not the son of Joseph and the mother?
Oh, no, that never happens to us today, does it?
No.
No, yeah, it does. People look at you and go, oh, I know you. All your friends and family, yeah, I've known you since the day where you were born. Who do you think you are now to be all holier than thou?
Exactly.
You can't change. You've been this way. We've always known you this way, and so that's the way you're always going to be.
Right.
So then what happens is almost the same thing happens today as happened then, because when you're telling those people, look, I'm here, but I ain't from here. You don't know me anymore. You think you know me.
Right.
You think you know who I am only based on what you know I was, but you have no idea the process that I've been through, because God is a God of processes. You have no idea the process that I've been to get to where I'm at, and you're probably not going where I'm going.
Exactly.
So that causes great strife and division in families and friends. You want to find out who your friend is, get saved.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No wonder that's why he says that I came not to bring peace. It's not that he never brought peace, but of course, when you talk about the life that we have, that it's a life from above, the life of Christ, they will tell you, well, what do you mean by that life? Somehow it relates to this exact explanation that Jesus is giving to them. They would say, Now, then the division comes. Of course, this is where it says, I came to bring division. Not necessarily that he's seeking to divide, but of course, we are in the kingdom of light and there is the kingdom of darkness. For them, they are looking at the natural point of view. We're looking at the spiritual point of view.
Well, and that's absolutely the truth. Linda's sitting over here behind me going, yes, 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 yes. It's not.
Amen.
I don't think it's. Sometimes with immature Christians, they get a hold of a piece of word and they start using it, and it almost becomes a weapon. Okay.
Right.
And our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. But we have to understand that this word. You're absolutely right. It didn't come to bring peace. It came to divide. And that's what Revelation says, you know, that people will holler, peace, peace, and then sudden destruction will come upon them like a thief in the night. And then they're going to go, wait a minute, what's going on? I thought everything was fine. I went to church. I was there every day. I tithed. I gave my offerings. I supported missions trips. I was I was a prayer warrior, la da da da, and yet now all of a sudden, why is this stuff falling apart? Well, it's because the word, and that's the place that we're at right now. It's so interesting to evaluate the times that they were in and compare them to what we're in right now, and nothing changes. The only thing that changes is time and geography.
Mm-hmm. That's very
and,
true.
And so we're in the same quandary right now. We have to make a decision on whether or not we believe the word of God is true or whether we don't believe the word of God is true.
And
Amen?
We know the word of God is true. Amen.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people out here, and I was at the barbershop last night over there at Southside Plaza for the men's meeting, and that's one of the things that Mac was talking about. He said, you know, we have to carry the load of this ministry. Mm-hmm. You know, it's our responsibility to do what God has called us to do. And so in order to do that, we don't have to carry the burden of the ministry, but we have to carry the load of the ministry. We have to be witnesses to these people and draw them in so that they can see the goodness and the glory of God. Otherwise, it's just lip service. Amen?
That's true. Amen. That's very true.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, I think I'm not sure where we're at now, to tell you the truth.
Verse 52.
Verse 52. I get into this stuff, man, and I forget exactly where I'm at.
Brother, it's a good word.
The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to him, most assuredly, say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. And this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give us a little dissertation, if you will, on that.
As you're reading verse 54, brother, I'm looking at the footnote I have in my Bible here on eating my flesh. It says, eating and drinking is used figuratively of partaking of the benefits of the death of Christ. We partake by faith and enjoy the benefits because God gives them on the basis of what Christ did for us. Mm.
Amen.
And
they were looking at it strictly from a natural standpoint, and they thought he was telling them they had to be cannibals.
Uh-huh.
And they're going, I don't think so. We won't eat pork because we're Jewish. How are we going to eat flesh and blood? That's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
did not understand the spiritual connotation of that verse. That's absolutely correct.
No, they didn't. In fact, on reading of the footnote, I'm reminded of this scripture. I know you know it well. Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. So as we come to eat this, his flesh, sin is dealt with, healing comes in our bodies, and I believe those are the benefits of his dying on the cross, and that's why he says it is finished. Of course, we'll be coming to that as we move ahead in the book of John.
Well, and that's exactly, I agree with you 100%, because the word of God, you know, the Bible says man doesn't live by bread alone, so he can't live by manna alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So when you get into the word and you begin to allow that word to go down on the inside of you, that's what he's talking about here.
Exactly.
You have to eat the word. And in order to eat the word, you have to prepare yourself for that. You have to get ready for that. You have to be prayed up. You have to go to God and say, look, when I read this word, you know,
Amen.
Open the eyes of my understanding so that I can see exactly what you're saying. And the
That's
more
right.
that you get down on the inside of you, then the more nourished you are. I think that's one of the biggest problems in the church today is they're malnourished. They're hungry. We talk about
that's
feeding
right.
the children overseas and helping, you know, helping people that are starving. The church is starving. They're absolutely famished because of a lack of the reading and the eating and the drinking
the
of the Word of God. Because the Word of God is what brings life. Because he says in John, he said earlier in John, he said, look, I am the life and the light. I'm the light and the life unto men. So,
exactly.
so people are walking around in the darkness looking for something to eat in the natural when they need to walk in the light and feast on this buffet that we have. It's called Genesis to Revelation.
That's right.
and they'll satisfy not only their natural thirst, but also their spiritual thirst.
Exactly. And like we started, of course, that's why John is so interesting. Sometimes you can't even get out of it. When you look at John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt
that's
among
right.
us. And here he's telling them that unless you eat my flesh, of course, we saw in Revelation, the Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. So if you don't eat the Word, then you can't eat his flesh. And if you don't eat his flesh, which is the Word, which became flesh, then you can't enjoy the benefits of salvation.
That's right. That's right. Mm. So when you look at your Bible, you don't look at it as a book. You have to look at that as the flesh of Jesus. Oh, come on now. That's exactly what that is. So when you look at it from that perspective, it should make it easier for you to understand what he's saying here, which is, look, you've got to get into the Word. And this is the thing that we talked about when we were in Africa. You know, the Bible is the evidence of God. It's the evidence that's presented in the form of testimony from his witnesses. We've got to get into it. We've got to find out what it's all about. We've got to assimilate it to ourselves, and we have to believe it. And then, and only then, the Bible says if you know the truth will set you free. But that's not exactly what it means. What it means is you have to do the truth. And if you do the truth and do the truth and do the truth and do the truth, then the day will come where you will experience the truth, and then the truth has made you free. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, well, let's
Thank
see if we can go on here. We've got every time we do this, Godfrey, the time just runs away from us.
That's true. I can't imagine we haven't gone anywhere.
I mean, look at all the stuff that we've covered in 3 weeks in John chapter 6. I mean, it's amazing, but there's a lot of meat here. This is not cereal.
Brother, this is meat itself.
this is the sincere filet mignon, if you will, of the Word of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. All right, let's look at verse 60. It says, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand? I mean, here's the guy. Look, here's the guys that are with him. They've been walking with him. They've been talking with him. They've seen the stuff that he's done, and they're going, we still don't get it. Hallelujah. So they don't get it, and they were called, anointed, and appointed to be with him. God gave them to him. How in the world is somebody that's not called ever going to understand this stuff? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But when Jesus
Glory.
Knew himself and his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? Is the Spirit who gives life the flesh profits nothing? The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. We just talked about that.
Glory.
God. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to the Father or come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, You want to go away too? And of course, Simon Peter, bless his heart, says, "Well, Lord, to whom shall we go?" That's a good question. Who shall we go?
Yeah.
What else is there? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? And he spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. And so that... We just finished chapter 6, believe it or not.
Yeah.
but that's very important. That last part there is hugely important because it's difficult for people who are not called by God to understand the Word of God. And if you don't understand it, things that people don't understand, they tend to deny, they tend to question, and they look for ways to disprove it from being true. What do you think?
I believe that is very true, and because they look at, like we say, it's all in the natural. They can't grasp the spiritual, and that's why the Bible says that it's only they that are spiritual that can discern spiritual things. And when you are reading verse 63, it's so touching. Of course, the part of what you've been reading is really touching, but verse 63 is what I considered here more. It says it is the spirit that quickens. So it's the spirit that brings life. Now, he is talking about the flesh profiteth nothing, and I'm reminded of when he looked at Peter. In Matthew, it says, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Still, the natural part will not. But he says that it is the word that I speak unto you is spirit and life. So we realize that it's the Holy Spirit again, just as you are saying that he came down from heaven and was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, conceived by Mary. So again, they are working together. You see, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit that again brings this revelation of who Christ is, that he makes him revealed and manifest to become flesh.
So it even gives more credence to the fact that the Bible is not just a book of words with pages and ink.
Right.
Because that's what he's saying here. He said it's the Spirit who gives life. So if you don't understand what it is you're reading, it's because your spirit has not quickened you into life or into light as well, because those two words can be synonymous, okay?
True.
And then he says, the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Well, then let's do this. If Jesus is the same as the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the same as Jesus, and Jesus is the same as God, and God is the same as Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and we're in him and him and he's in us, then that makes us the same as the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So this word from Genesis to Revelation that we're reading is words of spirit and truth. Hallelujah.
Exactly. And that's where our life begins.
Amen. Well, once again, we're out of time. And it's time to go. So next Tuesday, same time, same place, we'll be right back here. So please join us. We'll start at 10 o'clock, and we'll go right on into John chapter 7. Be blessed, and let the Spirit reign.